Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House State Affairs Committee to order. Today's Thursday, February 29th, the last day of February, a leap year. This won't happen again for four more years, so be aware of the memories. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:05 p.m. Today we have Vice Chair Wright with us. Representative Allard was in the room. Representative Carrick, Representative Story, and myself, Chair Shaw. I'd like to remind committee members and those in the audience to silence or turn off your cell phones, please. Staff that will be assisting us today are Annie Goodenough with House Records and Talia Ames with the LIO. Our committee aide today will be Reese Williams. We've got two items on today's agenda and the hard stop at 3:55, so we can do our finance subcommittee meetings at 4 o'clock. Today we will hear introductions on two bills. The first one will be House Bill 245. Direct deposit into your permanent fund dividend account, sponsored by Representative Sadler, followed by Senate Bill 103, Peer Support Counseling Program, sponsored by Senator Dunbar. We'll hear an introduction to these bills, we'll take any questions, and hear invited testimony, and then hold the bills for a future meeting. Any members like to make any comments before we start? Okay. House Bill 245. Direct deposit into your PFD account, sponsored by Representative Sadler. If I could I invite Representative Sadler to the presenter's table? If you would introduce yourself and put your name on the record and introduce your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the State Affairs Committee. For the record, this is Representative Dan Sadler, House District 24, Peters Creek, Chugach, Eagle River, Thunderbird Falls, every place, all the good places. Mr. Chairman, I'm very pleased and proud to bring HB 245 before you, and while the short title you mentioned is technically correct, I much prefer my own short title, which is Pick, Click, Save. Now, members may have in your packets the sponsor statement, which I think lays the case out probably more eloquently and I hope persuasively than I can here, but I think that an informal presentation actually helps you understand the bill and what's the intent. In short, Mr. Chairman, this bill seeks to streamline the process for helping Alaskans invest their permanent fund dividends into long-term investment accounts. Just like Jay Hammond wanted to turn one-time oil wells into perpetually producing money wells, this bill seeks to take the one-time permanent fund dividend you might get in a year and help turn that into, if not permanent, but at least long-term producing money well. The thought is, if we can help make it easier for Alaskans to put money aside today to grow through the miracle of compound interest and capital appreciation, that'll make Alaskans more personally, financially independent. And it can also make them less dependent on potentially unreliable government benefits that just may or may not be there to support a comfortable retirement. In principle, this is much like the popular Pick, Click, Give program, which was established in 2008, which lets Alaskans check a box in their dividend application to send money to their own favorite charities. In the same way, Pick, Click, Save would let Alaskans direct money into their own investment accounts, such as individual retirement accounts, or 401c3s. Charity begins at home, right? This bill would see a change in the online PFD application page for direct deposit, where it now says if you want to direct your deposit to checking or savings, it would also be another option, investment. This will be a subtle reminder and encouragement to Alaskans to deposit their PFDs into investment accounts, which can accrue interest and multiply significantly over time. Now, one question that may be on your minds is, can't people already take their dividends and invest them? And of course, the answer is, yes, they can. People can already also take their dividends and give them to charity. But the Pick, Click, Give program has, in the 15 years it's been in effect, already resulted in $35 million in donations to nonprofits. Since that program started, making it easier made it happen. Now, encouraging Alaskans to invest their dividends in accounts that can yield higher interest earnings is a low-cost way to help Alaskans help themselves. HB 245 is not meant to be world-changing, but it can be life-changing for individual Alaskans who can take this opportunity to grow their PFDs through investing. I would just note that it's appropriate this bill comes up now. We are in the window of applications for the PFD. I applied for mine last night. I'm going to ask my Chief of Staff, Melody Wilterding, who's over my shoulder, to run through the sectional, and then I'd be very happy to take your questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Sadler, and I'd like to welcome Representative Carpenter on board, please. Good. Melody, if you'd like to put yourself on the record and tell us whatever you'd like about this bill or the sectional analysis, as long as it's not more than two pages.
Thank you, Chair Shaw and members of the committee. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink, staff to Representative Dan Sadler, and this is the sectional analysis for House Bill 245, Version Alpha. So it starts at section one, which is on page one, starting at line four and ends on page two, line one. Section one of HB 245 would amend Alaska Statute 4323 by adding a new section, AS 4323-058, and that new section has three subsections. Subsection A states that a PFD recipient may direct the Permanent Fund Division to deposit all or part of that dividend into an investment account. Subsection B directs the Department of Revenue to design the PFD application to allow deposits into investment accounts, and it has them request any information necessary to make those deposits. Subsection C stipulates that the department may not use any money from the dividend fund to cover the administrative costs of implementing this act. Section 2, which is on page 2 at line 2, provides for an effective date of January 1st, 2025, and that is to ensure that the department would have enough time to implement this act. And that concludes the sectional. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilterdink. We've got Genevieve Watusik, PFD Division Director, online if we have any questions that need to be answered. Are there any questions from any committee members? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Shaw. Through the chair, welcome, Rep. Sadler. And I like your pick, click, save title there. I'm wondering if you can give me an idea of what the administrative cost would be to administer the program this way, and it might be important for staff to go on that.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Story, I appreciate the question. I would note a point I neglected to make is while Pick, Click, Give collects a 7% administrative fee, Pick, Click, Save would have no fee. So all of your dividend would go to your own account. And if you look, there's one fiscal note from the Department of Revenue, which is a zero fiscal note.
Follow-up? Thank you for that. A follow-up question through the chair. So can you explain why there would be no fee? I would think for the recipient to be able to give the department information online about an investment account. I'm just trying to picture how it would work. If you could help me, that would be great.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Story, this expects very little or nothing from the department other than setting up the one extra box on the online application. And if you apply online, as many Alaskans do, you'll know that there is a box to check for direct deposit, and you can designate what account it is and what the account number. And it would be up to the applicant to supply that information. That's not something that we need to ask the department to research or to keep track of. It's just simply just as you might do your direct deposit for your paycheck. You give them your credit union, your bank account number and routing number, and they will shoot it over there.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Carey.
Thank you, through the chair. I also really like the idea of pick, click, save. So thank you to Representative Sadler for bringing it forward. I am curious, you identified in the sponsor statement folks having the ability to put money in their own investment accounts, such as an IRA or a 401k, but the language in Section 1 of the bill isn't quite that specific, and it just says an investment account identified by the applicant. Are there other potential types of investment accounts that you could foresee folks utilizing with this, or is it pretty much just limited to those two types?
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, Representative Carrick, you've hit on something important there. While this was envisioned originally as helping people go to the retirement accounts, getting closer to retirement itself, that's on my mind, but the language is for investment account, which does not limit it to simply tax-advantaged or protected retirement accounts. It can be any long-term investment account. It could be a money market. It could be a Bitcoin if you want to. It could be whatever you want to. It's not limited to retirement accounts.
Just a follow-up. Follow-up.
Through
the chair, so if... And these would be accounts that individuals would already have established. And so there's nothing that the division would have to set up for an individual. They would have an account with their preferred investment account. And this would just provide a mechanism, as you said, a reminder for them to then make those deposits if they wanted to. And it would have the capacity to enable deposits into those different accounts. Is that the vision?
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, that is correct. I will say that this is an idea I've had in my mind for quite some time. An earlier iteration or two of the bill would have required the state to do some interesting things and require more work on the state's behalf to encourage people to enroll. But we tried to make this version of the bill as frictionless as possible and impose no obligation on the state of Alaska Department of Revenue to help set up accounts. If people have them, great. If they see the box to check investment, it may tweak them a little bit, but no, that does not allow the state of Alaska to get in the way of a person and their personal finances. If you've got an investment account with a brokerage house or investment agency or someone, you may use that. If you don't, I would certainly encourage people to do so, but there's no mechanism for that happening through this bill. That's one of the ways we kept the cost low.
Just one more
follow-up.
I like
Thank
her.
You. Thank you for your indulgence, Chair Shaw. Is there potential wisdom in limiting the language of this legislation from your perspective as the sponsor to retirement accounts or specific savings accounts that maybe are less predatory on the consumer? You mentioned Bitcoin, I know, is one of probably many, many types of examples, but is that something that was under consideration with this legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Carrick, no, it was not. I think we have to give individual Alaskans some credence and autonomy, obviously, to make their own investment decisions. Having the term investment covers a broad range of things. Again, personally, I think that going for the long-term tax advantage of a retirement account is preferable, but that's my personal view. Other people may want to put money away for the purchase of a down payment of a house, purchase of a car, that kind of thing. And for them, they might want to have a vehicle they can draw the money out of. So again, it's I think there's long-term benefit in retirement accounts, but this would just make it easier and simpler, slicker for people to put this money away. As I say, you have it in your hands, and if it's easy to click the box to put it away, if it's out of reach, it's out of mind, it can go grow for you.
And I would assume as a simple way of putting it, it's an investment opportunity. Regardless of which direction you go, in many respects, it's a once-a-year deferred compensation program. You defer that amount of money to an investment program, savings plan, investment program, whatever it may be. As simple as I think it is, you're basically deferring that amount of money once a year into an account that will benefit the future. Simply said?
Yes, sir. It is.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, and this is kind of a technical question, I think, and the reason that we're needing to have an extra box and another authority to deposit to a investment fund is because the current transfer to a bank account is a different technical piece than transferring to an investment account.
Through the chair, Representative Carver, I'm not exactly sure I understand the possibly think of it this way. Right, if we were to only have the direct deposit option for a savings account, but you might want to put it to your checking account instead, this is the same kind of extension. There's no additional technical requirement. It's just simply a destination for the money. Again, there's some version, the whole idea of permanent fund dividends and how they may be used and so forth. In the past, there have been proposals to try and have people essentially buy shares of the permanent fund and have their money invested in their behalf. This does not do that. Again, as the chair said, this is simply a frictionless way to offer people the opportunity. All the investment advice I've ever heard says pay yourself first. And every October, this money comes out. You can use it for all kinds of things. This offers them an easy, frictionless, simple way to have the opportunity to save money for themselves for the future. Pay yourself first and put it away.
Follow up. I guess the technical question that I'm trying to understand is a purpose of the bill piece. Is it necessary? The Permanent Fund Corporation or the computer system that I put the bank account in doesn't know what bank account I'm putting in. I'm just putting in some numbers. It's sending it to whatever routing number I give it. So if the routing number is a routing number to a investment account versus a checking account, what does the system care right now?
Sir, you've asked, through the chair, Representative Carpenter, you have asked a computer question, and I luckily have a young person to answer that computer question because I'm not that way. So if I could refer that question to my chief of staff, Melody Wilterdink, I'd appreciate it.
Please, Mr. Will, can you go ahead and answer that question for us, potentially? I thought it was simple.
Thank you, Chair Shaw, through the chair to Representative Carpenter. So I asked a very similar question to the department's liaison, because before we get to the question of do we need to specify an investment account, I think the first question is, why on the application does it ask whether the account and routing number that we're sending it to is checking or savings? I didn't get a super clear answer. I think I would actually need to speak with somebody in the financial industry, but it sounds like there is a reason why we specify checking or savings already when we do fill out our application. And so when we want to do a third type of account, an investment account, especially if we're talking about a non-traditional FDIC insured type account, having that third option to specify when the department puts through our direct deposit information could prevent any technical issues, which would result in us getting paper checks. I don't know if that's ever happened to anyone on the committee, but if you have an error, say filing your federal income taxes with your deposit information, you will get a paper check instead.
Okay. And that follow-up, the coding that would have to be done on the application website is something that's minor enough that it doesn't cost a fiscal note.
You want to go ahead and answer that? Can you hear us?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Shaw, through the chair to Representative Carpenter. The bill did receive a zero fiscal note, and so my understanding is that making that small change on the application, that cost would be absorbed.
Thank you.
And what my brother would do in the past with his two young daughters is he would take their dividend and he would immediately apply it to their future college fund. And this is as simple as it can possibly be, is that you're just applying this to something that benefits the future of whoever it is his account goes into. Easy enough?
Sure, I think so. I mean, actually, if we're going to get Ms. Wojcik on the phone from the Permanent Fund Dividend Office, I would just say that I took my dividends and my children's dividends all went to the 529 college plan. Alaska has one of the best, if not the best in the country. It's very transferable, good return. I had a Fidelity account, and so that's partly, you know, I put it in every year. It's like, goodness, that's a lot of money now. It wasn't enough, mind you, but it was certainly a lot.
But this is much easier because you don't have to touch it in between. It goes directly to, which sometimes if you touch it, it's one of those off paydays, you go, well, maybe I'll move it over here.
I'll save later.
So, yeah, the benefit to the box is it's moving automatically.
Yes, sir.
So thank you. Any additional questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Representative Sadler and Ms. Wilternick, for being with us today. We're going to set this bill aside and bring it back at a future meeting. Amendments for this bill are due to my office by 4 p.m. Wednesday, March 6th. Okay, we're going to take up Senate Bill 103, Peer Support Counseling Program, sponsored by Senator Dunbar. I don't see him in the room, but he has his staff here. James. Oh, there he is. Okay. Yes, if you and your staff would please introduce yourself and present your bill, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Forrest Dunbar, Senator for District J. I'm James Holzenberg, staff to Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the State Affairs Committee for hearing this bill today. Senate Bill 103, Peer Support Counseling Programs, represents progress on destigmatizing mental health care within the first responder profession. The statistics around mental health in first responder professions are sobering. 30% of first responders develop depression and PTSD, among other things, compared to 20% in the general population. Police officers and firefighters are more likely to die by suicide than in the line of duty, according to research from 2020. The intent of SB 103 is to give law enforcement agencies and first responders the option to create a peer support counseling program and provide a level of confidentiality for those undergoing counseling. This would allow a department to designate employees as peer support counselors after training in providing emotional and moral support to first responders that have received trauma on the job. There are already programs within the Department of Public Safety and the Anchorage Police Department for peer support counseling, but confidentiality is not a part of these programs, leading to low program participation. This bill has received support from the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association, the Public Safety Employees Association, and the Alaska Peace Officers Association. These conversations would be confidential, with exceptions for threats of harm to self or others, admission of criminal conduct, and information about children and vulnerable adults at risk. This would allow first responders to seek assistance with less stigma and more assurance that they can return to their jobs after working through their experiences with someone who has been in their position. I appreciate your time and encourage your support on SB 103.
Thank you very much, Senator Dunbar. And we've got Commissioner Cockrell in the room to answer questions, along with Angie Silvato from APDEA and Sergeant Kelly Houston, the peer support leader with APD. They're all available for questions. Are there any questions from the committee to Senator Dunbar and his staff? Oh. Seeing none. Thank you, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Easy enough. And Mr. Hulsberg, for being with us today. Sorry for the length of the meeting and how long it takes to get through this, but we'll try to move on. So we're going to set this aside, bring it back to a future meeting, and amendments, again, are due in my office. Brief at ease.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Would it be possible to hear invited testimony from the commissioner?
If you'd like, if you want invited testimony, he's willing to come up, please.
Yeah, just because he came here today, I'd like him a chance to speak on the record, if that's okay.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Cockrell, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and provide your testimony, please.
I'll make it quick. Through the Chair, Shaw, James Cockrell, the Commissioner of Alaska Department of Public Safety, thank you for allowing me to speak towards SB 103. It's just, for the record, we support the bill as the Department of Public Safety. You know, as a law enforcement officer throughout your career, you end up handling some of the worst incidents you'll ever think of. And there's certainly trauma events to each cumulative trauma events that occur. Sometimes it can happen just like that. We've had troopers first day on the job see something horrible and end up quitting. The department in 2013 put together a peer support group, and we found that to be very successful as a department. And one of the things that, you know, there's always, especially in law enforcement, there's always stigma involved in coming, I guess, coming forward and talking about the events that are trauma or that provide trauma. And I'm not talking very good today, but bottom line is this is needed. If we're going to have a support, peer support group or organization within your department, there should be some confidentiality when that person that needs the support can go and talk to them, and then a supervisor or another entity can't come over and ask what that person had said. And I think under this, it covers circumstances where that information can be released. So I see that as critical to a prosperous peer support system, and I'm really proud of where we went as a department. We've made it available to any other police departments in the state that need help, or if they have a big traumatic event, we'll reach out to them. We currently have 35 peer supports in our department and four different teams. And this past year, we had over 1,900 peer support contacts to our law enforcement. And that's not including just our department, but it's other law enforcement agencies that we've touched bases with that's asked for our assistance. So the program last year was at 1,000 in 2022, and we're up to 1,900 this year. So obviously it's working. People are reaching out. And I think the biggest thing to do for that is because they trust the peer support. And they also know our department's not going to probe into the confidentiality. And I think, but I still think we need to safeguard it by a law to safeguard our law enforcement, our first responders.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody on the committee would like to have any questions for the commissioner?
I do.
Representative Carrick.
Thanks, through the chair, and thanks, Commissioner and Senator Dunbar, for bringing this forward. I just had a quick question about using the word counselor to designate this individual for the counseling program. It says any participant or any existing employee can be a peer counselor if they have prior counseling training. What does that look like? And it might be a question for the bill sponsor as well, but because we have certified professional counselors, I'm just wondering if that is the correct terminology we should be using.
I'm going to answer that. Okay. Yes, Commissioner, if that's all right. Representative Carrick, through the chair, we have, I believe, online the head of the program at APDEA that might be able to answer that with more specificity. I think we're using counselor in a little bit more of a vernacular sense. That is, I know that there are very specific medical providers that are counselors, and that is not the assertion of what these people are, what they do, but they do receive some training. And so perhaps she could speak to that if she's online.
Great. Angie Savato, would you like to take that question on if you're online?
Hi, yeah, this is Kelly Houston with the Police Department. Okay. So to answer that question, we have about the same amount of trained peer support as the troopers do, and all of those employees, and that can be sworn and non-sworn, they are trained and certified through ICISF, which is the International Critical Incident Stress Foundation. So they take and participate in a 40-hour course so that they are certified as peer counselors. So the statement was correct in that we're not saying that these people have counseling, you know, degrees or certificates or anything like that. We're using them more in the term of peer counseling. But again, they are trained and certified. It's not like they're just being selected and saying, okay, now you're a peer support counselor. They do have to go through that process.
Brief follow-up?
Well,
thank you, through the chair. And is the vision, should this bill be enacted, to make sure that the language for these peer counselors says peer counselor or qualifies that? Because it sounds like this is a nationally sort of utilized vernacular or common vernacular, but just wanting to make sure that folks getting involved in a peer counseling program, as supportive as that is not necessarily seen as a substitute, completely a substitute for going to a licensed professional counselor. So just wanting to make sure that our semantics are not potentially misleading people who maybe need additional support.
May I, Mr. Chair? Thank you, Representative Carrick, through the chair. Yeah, I think you sort of hit the nail on the head. The term is peer counselor, not counselor. And it's sort of a piece. Peer counselor is a distinct thing in this context. It is not a substitute for, you know, long-term counseling or therapy or that kind of medical treatment. We don't intend it to be.
Thank you. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question probably for Mr. Cockrell. I get the need for confidentiality when you're talking about some sensitive issues, and I see that the text of the bill here is talking about not oral or written information not admissible in a criminal or civil proceeding, but that confidentiality would not apply to any admission of criminal conduct. So I'm curious how we walk that fine line between protecting those who need to talk about things and abuse of that process to cover things up. How does that actually get worked out in the day-to-day operation?
through the chair, James Cockrell, Commissioner of Alaska Department of Public Safety, Representative Carpenter. You know, that's a good point. I will say in their training, they're trained if they're getting into a position where they feel uncomfortable with, whether it's a legal issue or something, they'll discontinue their counseling or peer support. And then essentially, if based on this bill, and even if this bill wasn't there, if they admitted to a criminal fine, a criminal offense, then they would have to report that. But there's a certain line that they won't cross, and to ensure that we're not infringing on their constitutional rights.
Follow up on that. Follow up. So when you use the pronoun they, are you talking about the peer support counselor?
Through the chair, yes.
Okay.
And if I can follow, I think upon her question a little bit, we do utilize services outside the state or inside the state. We have sent our troopers or law enforcement officers to Chris Kyle Hospital here, Shatterproof. We also send them down to Florida and to Tulsa. So there are, if it gets beyond what we think is our peer support as a department, we have taken the forefront of sending our folks to get really good help. And professional help, and it's worked out for, because we've saved several troopers' careers because of that.
Thank you. Representative Allard.
Thank you. I don't know if this is to Senator Dunbar or to you, Commissioner. Thank you for being here today. I don't have a problem with the peer support counseling title. I get what we're doing, and I know Senator Dunbar relates to that with the military. We don't always need to go further up. We just need someone to vent with. My current question is in regards to confidentiality and the consequences, right? So if you have somebody and I go speak to somebody, I'm hoping they're going to be confidential, even if I didn't do something wrong, but I'm venting. How are you guys safeguarding that confidentiality? Because people talk. And I'm wondering, is there a sidebar where someone can't just be like, oh, listen to what I heard? Yeah, you can remove the peer counselor, but the damage would have already been done. So what are you guys looking at doing to safeguard that? And are there, is there something in line to where there might be consequences to the peer counselor?
I don't know if you want to, through the chair, Representative Allard, that's, a great question. I will say the department has very strict guidelines on confidentiality. And if we felt that somebody violated that confidentiality, we would do an investigation, and we would, on the, not on criminal, but as conduct not becoming an employee of the Department of Public Safety, and there would be sanctions, potentially even dismissals, depending on the grossness of the violation. So we would handle it internally as a personnel issue.
May I
follow up?
I think Senator Dunbar has a comment.
Thank you, Representative Allard, through the chair. I was wondering, actually, to the chair, could Ms. Houston also perhaps answer that question from the APDEA?
Ms. Houston, you want to take that question on?
Sure. We're about in the exact same boat as the commissioner, and that would be an internal process. Our peer support team, upon selection and training, also sign a confidentiality agreement. They understand that the seriousness of this, and that even though currently our peer support team members, this is a voluntary position, they, no matter how many hours and whatever time of the night they're called out, they are not paid to respond to these incidents. They are not paid to provide this service. So in that, I think we eliminate the people looking for additional pay or overtime, if you will. We're also selecting members that other department members are recommending as to be in this position. We do internal selection processes where we're talking to their peers, their supervisors, about their experiences with them. So we at first, I think, try to vet those people and make sure we're selecting the right people for that position. And then additionally, we have yet to, in the few years that our program has been up and running, this has not been an issue yet. And that's extremely comforting to know that we take this very seriously. The peer support members take it seriously because they understand too that they are also in need of that, just like their peers are at times. And so they understand the importance and kind of the sacredness of those conversations. But long story short, we would also be, it would be an internal process in which, you know, a complaint could be filed and discipline could be handed down, or certainly removal from the peer support team.
Thank you, Sergeant Houston. Representative Story.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair Sheriff Shaw. Through the chair, I heard it being said that a counselor is different from a peer support counselor. They both have training, but it's a different amount of training. And I'm wondering if on page 2 in the section 18, kind of line 3, and throughout that paragraph, it uses the term counselor. I'm wondering if whenever we see counselor, it should say peer counselor before the word counselor. I realize there would be, you know, you're talking about peer support counseling and counselors. You see the word peer a lot, but it would make it very clear that what type of counselor it is. So I'm wondering if you've thought of that.
please.
Representative Story, through the chair, I certainly would not be opposed to such a clarifying amendment.
Are there any additional questions from committee members for anybody online or to our presenters? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to set this bill aside and bring it back for a future meeting. Amendments for the bill will be due in my office by 4 p.m. on Wednesday, March 6th. Any follow-up questions from anybody on anything regarding the bill? Okay, seeing none, that's no other business before us today. We are adjourned at 3:40.